Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the regular season is finally upon us, and a transition for us from the preseason to the regular season now as we go from two shows a week to five shows a week, Monday through Friday. A big switch for us. You up for it?
I think I'm up for it. All right. I'm excited for this. It's like, you know, the Packers had their training camp, got prepared, did their four preseason games, now getting ready for the regular season. We had our first quick run through, and now everything matters. It's time to do this thing.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll jump right into to what happened over the weekend as the Packers trimmed the roster down to 53 players, and something I don't think either one of us ever imagined we'd be talking about on our first regular season show here. Three-time Pro Bowl guard Josh Sitton, no longer a member of the Packers, released, signed as a free agent with the Chicago Bears the very next day. And certainly the most surprising roster cut-down day move in my decade-long tenure here at 1265. What was your reaction, and what do you make of this roster move?
Yeah, absolute shock. I think when we first saw the press release come through, I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I mean, my initial thought was this must be a mistake. We accidentally sent out a prototype or something. And TJ Lang kind of echoed that a little bit, a close friend of Sitton, obviously the running partner with them there at guard, saying that over the years, Josh had always kind of joked with him a little bit. I've been cut. I've been traded. I'm retiring. And Lang just kind of learned to laugh it off. But when he texted him, "I've been cut," Lang's first initial response was, "Yeah, me too." I mean, nobody saw this coming.
No.
And it's one of those things that, I mean, you and I, we could speculate about it. We could talk about it in terms of what was maybe the motivations behind the move. But at the end of the day, Josh Sitton is not a Green Bay Packer anymore. And that was definitely one of the scenarios that I did not have written down going into Saturday's cutdowns.
Yeah, definitely not. And we may never know the entire story behind this. Mike McCarthy told reporters on Monday this wasn't just one thing. There was a lot that went into this. Now, what are those things that went into it? Salary cap considerations, other roster spot considerations, future contract considerations. Could be any combination of those or even more things involved than that. We don't really know. But the bottom line is the Packers are moving on with Lane Taylor starting at left guard. And one of the things that makes a move like this possible is something that we talked about during the preseason, that the Packers, with the development of their depth on the offensive line, they've gotten to the point, unlike in previous years, where if a player goes down to an injury, in this case a player leaves, they're not shuffling around the entire line right in order to make this work. Josh Sitton is gone. Lane Taylor is being plugged in. It's a one-for-one swap at this point, and they're moving forward.
They are. I mean, you're not really seeing TJ Lang having to bust out to like four different positions anymore. They've really got their number one backup at each spot, and they feel comfortable with them. You think of 2012, Don Barkley moving in at right tackle when Brian Bulaga was out for the season. Then the following year, David Bakhtiari becomes the starting left tackle, and Bulaga has the ACL injury. 2014, the week before the season, J.C. Treader goes down with his knee injury.
Yep.
Corey Linsley, having never taken a snap with Aaron Rodgers, takes his first one in a regular season game against Seattle. So they're used to this. Now, it's probably the one exception is it's never evolved, you know, been revolved around Josh Sitton. He's been a rock there, 112 career starts in the regular season. He's only missed two games in the last six. It's going to take a lot to overcome him. But at the same time, I think the Packers have proven, and the offensive line has proven, that the expectations don't change, and they still feel like they can meet those really high, lofty goals that they've had for 2016.
Yeah, for sure. And I know there are a lot of fans out there who are questioning this move and saying, well, if this is all about future considerations and everything, what about trying to win right now? You know, they're criticizing the front office. And the angst and the anxiety around that is understandable. But this type of move, as surprising as it was, is not unprecedented for a Super Bowl contender, which the Packers believe they are. Just 2 years ago, we saw the New England Patriots guard Logan Mankins, a veteran guard, had been to the Pro Bowl five consecutive years. They got into a little bit of a contract squabble over his very high salary. The Patriots decided they weren't going to pay it. Between the third and fourth preseason games, they traded him, moved around a couple pieces on the offensive line, stuck in a young guy, and went on and won the Super Bowl. So this is not the type of move that completely yanks the rug out from under a Super Bowl contender in this given year, and the Packers certainly don't feel that way.
Yeah, definitely. And if you look at the way they've built this roster and how they've constructed it, they've had young guys step up into roles before. And the big key is going to be exactly, you know, how not only Lane Taylor plays, but in terms of how they absorb that leadership void that Sitton had. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was incredibly popular, especially in the offensive line room. He'd help bring along David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga. It seemed like everybody on that line at some point in their careers, even Lang, has lined up next to Josh Sitton. So they talk about it all the time. You're only as good as the two guys next to you on the offensive line. And Josh Sitton made a lot of people's lives easier. The question is now, when you divvy up those roles, when you divvy up that responsibility, can the Packers withstand that loss? And certainly the way that Ted Thompson saw it on Saturday, this is something that they think they can weather.
Yeah, well, and more to talk about Lane Taylor stepping into that spot after the break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. All right, Wes, new starting left guard Lane Taylor joins the Packers in 2013 as an undrafted rookie out of Oklahoma State, makes the roster as an undrafted rookie, and we saw last season his third year with the team. He got a couple of spot starts when some injuries shifted some things around, and played very well in those starts and earned himself a two-year contract as a restricted free agent in the offseason. This is a guy the Packers have developed. They've now invested in him, and they believe in him.
They do, and you have to remember, this is a guy that it's not like he just came off the street yesterday. As you mentioned, Lane Taylor's been here for 3 years. This is his fourth season now,
right.
And he spent those three previous seasons really being an apprentice to T.J. Lang and Josh Sitton. And as you mentioned, there's only two career starts to his ledger. He only played in four games last season because of how deep they were on the offensive line and some other guys that could play multiple positions. But he's the guy that in practice, when Josh Sitton was nursing the toe injury in 2014, when he had his back issues last year, when T.J. Lang has had this shoulder injury and surgery this offseason, he's the guy that stepped in with the starting offensive line. There's a lot of experience there with this guy.
A lot of practice reps.
Yeah, and as much as you want to have the in-game stuff, as much as you want to see what he can do when the games and the snaps really matter, he's not new to this offense, and he's not new to Aaron Rodgers, and I think there's a lot of comfort in his experience with this team and this line.
Yeah, and I think the fans are a little bit nervous because their last impression of Lane Taylor in the preseason finale in Kansas City last week was a guy who was penalized three times, two holding penalties and a false start. We heard from Mike McCarthy yesterday. I thought his line was kind of interesting. It's preseason for the officials, too.
Right.
Now, the false start, I don't think there was necessarily any disputing that, but I think we can read between the lines there with Mike McCarthy that the coaches looked at those holding calls on film and didn't necessarily agree. And I can't profess to having watched or studied all of Lane Taylor's film, but he's a guy that looks to me like, you know, a mauler, a brawler, and he really fits. And not unlike Josh Sitton in a way, but he really fits the mentality that we've talked about all preseason with Mike McCarthy wanting to establish this team, this offensive line, as a run-blocking unit, and Lane Taylor seems to fit that bill.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of one of the strengths of Taylor is the run-blocking side of it. The pass protection is something they feel like has come along over the last couple of years, getting more in tune to what they expect and how they, you know, like to run this offense when you have a two-time MVP quarterback that you're blocking for.
Sure.
But as you mentioned too, and I think this is really important to point out, some people hear the term undrafted and they immediately just go to overachiever, you know, someone that, you know, maybe doesn't have all the measurables, doesn't have exactly what you look for. Guard is a position where that interior line in general is a position where you're going to see a lot of undrafted free agents not only come in and contribute, but find starting jobs. Evan Dietrich Smith did it for this offensive line before too.
That's right.
So it's not like Lane Taylor was just came out of nowhere. I mean, this is a guy that I think the Packers felt really confident in 2013, and that's only swelled over the last three seasons. He's a very tough guy, can sit in there, really is able to absorb those type of nose tackles that you're going to see there. as Mike McCarthy said, as I'm sure James Campins thinks as well, the offensive line coach, it just comes down to putting it all together now, and he's going to have to do that starting in Jacksonville for an entire season if he wants to hold on to that job.
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, there's no lack of familiarity amongst the other offensive linemen in the room.
Right.
And when they're at the line of scrimmage with Lane Taylor, whether it's J.C. Tretter at center, David Bakhtiari at left tackle, Taylor's going to be in between those guys. He's taken plenty of practice snaps. Those now obviously will increase as he is the regular number one guy, but really this is a transition for the Packers that on the field, other than the experience factor, because as you mentioned, Taylor doesn't have a whole lot of starts under his belt, but other than the experience factor, this is an on the field transition that the Packers believe is going to go very smoothly.
Yeah, and TJ Lang talked about it too. A lot of the things that Josh Sitton did well, and he does a lot of things well for a guard. His athleticism, ability to pull, get to the second level, stand in for pass protection is out of this world. But one of the defining qualities of him is he was just so experienced. And there's only one thing that you can do to get that experience. You have to play, you have to be out there. And as you mentioned, with David Bakhtiari and J.C. Tretter at the beginning stretch of the season here, he has to develop that familiarity and that chemistry, and that's something the Packers feel like starting in Jacksonville he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, and it's not about necessarily being all systems go or everything running on all cylinders in week one. This is a long season. This is a move that the Packers made with the long term in mind, and we just have to see how it works out. But before we go to a break, let's take care of a little business here as we welcome another sponsor into the Packers Unscripted family. Wes, we all know that Green Bay fans are the most devoted fans in the league, and that takes a lot of energy. So grab a warm bowl of Campbell's Chunky Soup. Its meaty goodness fuels the greatness of Packers fans everywhere. Try the delicious chunky beef with country vegetables. Just visit your local supermarket retailer and ask for Campbell's Chunky Soup, the hearty way to fuel your game, and the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we look at the rest of the construction of the Packers 53-man roster, two things jump out: 7 wide receivers and 11 defensive backs. Those are not typical numbers by any means. My initial reaction to that is I think it reinforces something that we talked about earlier in discussing potential roster cuts and how these decisions are going to be made, that beyond having certain minimum numbers that you need at positions in order to construct a roster, after that, the Packers are going to keep the best football players to fill out the 53 regardless of what position they play. And it just so happened that the better football players who can help them on special teams and in other areas are extra wide receivers and defensive backs.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, is this team 96 now? Mike McCarthy always talks about like which team it is.
Something like
that. Whatever
it
is.
Yeah.
90-some years of existence, the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
I guarantee you they've never had a roster breakdown like this before. 7 receivers. It started with 12 defensive backs, no long snapper, although Brett Goode has since re-signed with the Packers. But we talked about Josh Sitton in terms of that being a surprise. The first time I laid eyes on this roster, and when I constructed everything together to put on our website, I was like, wow, this is very unique.
Yeah.
Getting back to the point that you made, and Mike McCarthy talked about it too with Joe Callahan, how do you not keep this guy on your roster? I think that's what happened with a lot of these positions. How do you not keep Jared Aberderis on your roster? The two young safeties, Kentrell Bryce and Marwin Evans
yep.
from Milwaukee, all these guys were really deserving. And there were some guys too, I think, that ended up on the practice squad that were deserving of that 53-man spot. But the Packers had to pick their direction. They had to figure out which guys they thought they needed, which guys they could sneak to the practice squad. And at the end of the day, they feel confident about this 53 and what they're going to start with to begin this season.
Yeah, and when it comes to the wide receiver position, there a lot of speculation in the offseason as to how this was going to shake out. I do think the hand injury with Jeff Janis, the shoulder injury with Trevor Davis may have played into how this roster is taking shape right now. But at the same time, you look at the seven wide receivers, as unusual a number as it is, five of those seven guys can have a role on special teams if the Packers ask them to take a role on special teams. The only ones that we haven't really seen do much on special teams would be Jordy Nelson, mostly because of his seniority and obviously his status. He was on special teams earlier in his career, and Davante Adams. But the rest, the other five receivers have, whether it's a return man, a gunner, on some kind of coverage unit, they can all play a role there. And I think that the speed that you have at the wide receiver position in order to help on special teams factors into this.
Ty Montgomery blocked a punt when we were in Kansas City. There's different ways that guys can contribute. I think we've seen Jared Aberderis make a lot of interesting strides there too, and how they can use him and his body type. So yeah, to your point, I think that's exactly what the Packers need, because one of the reasons why they went so heavy at tight end all these years is because Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff really like that body type for special teams and contributing in that way. You see the linebackers that they kept, Jayrone Elliott and Joe Thomas both can contribute. And really across the board, they have a lot of receivers here that can do different things for them. And then their fullback, Aaron Ripkowski, seems like he could be a four, you know, all phase guy. So that is the ultimate determinant of who's going to make this roster, because those are the guys in most cases that are going to be playing on those units.
Yeah, and when you look at the special teams, another last-minute move, I guess you might say, you mentioned it before, Brett Goode coming back as long snapper. The Packers decide to move on from Rick Lovato, who had taken over for Goode after the ACL injury that Goode sustained in the Oakland game last December. And really, an interesting story that 8.5 months after that injury, Brett Goode is back. He's ready to roll. Packers brought him in for a workout, liked what they saw, and he's back in his same locker. He's got the same jersey number, and he told reporters the other day, it's like I never left.
Yeah, I actually like the comment where he's like, it feels like I was just here yesterday.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? And he was working out with them too. So this is a pretty nice story. You feel for Rick Lovato. I thought he did everything that you could possibly ask for him coming in really difficult circumstances last year to put together a pretty solid postseason. But Brett Goode was the guy, and there's a lot of familiarity with him. As Mike McCarthy said, this wasn't so much a reflection of Lovato. It was just that Brett Goode's healthy again. They lost Tim Mastey already. And this is a guy that can come in and really add to that operation and bring back some familiarity with Mason Crosby.
Yeah, and it was interesting talking to Goode, because I remember in 2008, the last preseason game, J.J. Jansen was the Packers' long snapper. He blows out his knee. I think it was even in the fourth quarter. I mean, this close to J.J. Jansen being the long snapper for the Green Bay Packers. Blows out his knee, and the Packers have to find a replacement. And Brett Goode gets the call, working on a construction crew pouring concrete in a driveway in Fort Smith, Arkansas, his hometown. So I asked him, you know, all right, well, then where were you when the call came this time? He was still in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He said he was on his mom's couch. They were potentially making plans to go to the beach if they didn't get any phone calls from NFL teams in a couple of weeks now that he's healthy. And I think he's perfectly glad that he can skip those vacation plans.
You can wait with the beach right now.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, well, we'll take a break from there and back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment. You look at the construction of this Packers roster. Four undrafted rookies make it after the final roster moves of the last couple of days. Certainly a high number. And if there's one of those four guys that was maybe the biggest surprise, if you look back to when these guys were signed after the draft and everything, and they're all just kind of names on a piece of paper at that point, if the one who's the biggest surprise that you would have thought would have the least chance of making it, Joe Callahan, the Division III quarterback from Wesley College, lit up the stat sheets, in the college ranks in Division III. But boy, he sure looked like he belonged.
He did. And going back to the day when the Packers announced all their college free agent signings, my initial reaction when I saw Joe Callahan's name come up was just, oh, that's cute. I mean, this is a nice opportunity for a Division III guy. Bring him in, see what he can do, pat him on the back. wish him good luck. And the rapid growth he made in those 4 months with the Packers just was astounding to me. It's a credit to him. It's a credit to that coaching staff. Yep. And a credit to the personnel department for seeing that in him, because he, over the course, especially the preseason, how he handled the first team offense, how he drove the second team offenses, he certainly was worthy of the spot.
Yeah, he earned it. There's no question about it. And Mike McCarthy even said on Monday when he spoke to the media that keeping Joe Callahan on the 53-man roster as a third quarterback was not a reflection of any concern over Brett Hundley's right. ankle injury, that Hundley would not be ready to go. Hundley will be the number two quarterback in Jacksonville. Mike McCarthy expects him to practice this week. So this really was the case of a long shot, an underdog, earning his way onto the roster and onto the roster of a playoff contender, no less. And when I look at those four preseason games, the thing that jumps out at me the most, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, is just his pocket presence and his awareness, his ability to get out of the pocket when he was under pressure, and not just scramble out of trouble, which he was very successful at, but when he would do that, he wasn't just tucking the ball and running with right. it. He was still looking downfield, keeping his eyes downfield, trying to find a receiver and make a play, and we saw him make some of those plays. Just a really impressive showing throughout the month of the preseason games.
Definitely, and a really funny story too. Alex Van Pelt was the one that broke the news to him that he got the 53-man roster bid, and it was really funny too because he was just kind of sitting and waiting anxiously for the day to unfold. Van Pelt calls him, really slow plays it, mentions, hey, how are you doing? How are you feeling? Finally gives him the good news. What an accomplishment for the young man. And obviously now a really great opportunity in Green Bay to work under Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, we have other good stories from those undrafted Definitely. Rookies who made the roster to talk about as the week goes along. But we'll call that a wrap on Packers Unscripted for now. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.